you have any, would you have any thoughts or advice to us as a group, as we start to see, we're starting to see an end product down the road here. Do you have any advice for us as far as things that you think might be helpful for us to consider and to incorporate into a report?
Especially since you're the guy that may get slammed with all this.
If I may, before I answer that, did I hit the points that you were asking, Greg?
He had three or more questions buried in that somewhere.
I think there
he
were.
He forgot what they are.
Now, much of that can be next year or the year after.
So, Chuck, on yours, what I would say as a suggestion that would help down the line is a roadmap, because look, you guys have been working on this for nine plus months now. By the time, if you stay on your timelines for the final product, you will have been working in a whole lot of areas for a year. That is a whole lot of work that needs to be documented in digestible pieces. I love the executive summary with the background data behind it. I want to know what the suggestions are, but I trust yet verify. So I always read the background, because the background pieces are the nuts and bolts, right? But you need to have the high levels, which is how you smart people will write the report. What I would suggest is, from that standpoint, is be open and willing, because as George is looking at political stuff, you've got Rick looking at some of the finance stuff, and each of you have kind of had your specialty areas. Wherever we go as a system, we're going to need to reach back out. So your report may be done, but I would anticipate that there's going to be times as we put together the future that we need to ask, what did you learn? What did you see? So give us what you saw as hurdles and pitfalls that we need to be aware of for context. The second side is, please give options and not absolutes. Because if you say this is the only thing you can do or should do, as we get into it, we may find that this tweak might be better, or this one may not work, and we need to be able to plug and play. And you guys have a lot of options with suggestions to go. So I would say give options in best case scenarios, and know that we may flex down the road. And then the third piece that I would say is, wherever we go, having continued open dialogue and support is going to be paramount of making this successful in the eyes of the public. Because if we say one thing on EMS or something on fire and it's contradictory to what your suggestions are, I think that's going to blow us up right off the bat before we get out of the gate. So we need to be collective. Options, open transparency, and let us know what you're walking into. I think would be, at least from my perspective, as Rick said, it may end up on my lap, is what the heck are we walking into, and how can we best work through all this stuff that you've had a year to analyze to the bottom line, make things best for the citizens and best for the people of the organizations to take care of them. And if we can do that, then we're going to be successful wherever we go, as far as I'm concerned.
So, Chief Collins, not to put you on the spot, but I always hate to assume things. So I believe when you were offered the position or hired in, you knew that this was being, there was discussions about a merger that was happening. So I'm assuming, and I always hate to assume, that you would be open to bringing EMS on board or leaving it the way it is, one way or the other.
Yeah, I see. So that was a very definitive maybe you gave me. You're right. It was part of the process. It was part of the expectation. If I didn't feel that I had something to offer the community from a leadership role, I wouldn't be sitting here, and two, wouldn't have put in for it. I have passion for EMS. I have passion for taking care of our citizens, whatever it is. So not putting me on, yes, I would have no problem if it came to the fire side of things to make sure. But bottom line is, my goal, wherever it ends up, is to create a system that best takes care of the citizens, whatever that looks like. And if it doesn't come to fire, that's fine. Fire will still be involved to take care of the citizens, and I see a partnership in EMS somehow along the line because that's just how it needs to be. If you come back with a recommendation that fire needs to be absolutely separate from EMS, well then, we're going to have a chat behind closed doors to say that you wasted a year and didn't give me a system option. Because I think that creating a system where we come together will serve the citizens best. But yeah, I walked into this with my eyes open. I think I have something to offer.
Rick hasn't asked you to change the name of your department yet.
He will. He will. He's waiting.
As long as we have San Juan Island somewhere for now, we're good.
Yeah.
It's a holistic approach, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what? I was just saying to Mark, there's now a whole movement afoot starting in March to back in D.C. to change and actually get rid of the term EMS. Because it's going to a much greater depth. So it's ASAP, all of them are getting together in March to start the process of where 2050 healthcare is, pre-hospital, outside the hospital is gonna be. So I may not completely ask you for a new name, but.
I will say that may be the EMS side that's emerging. Fire
right.
And trying to get rid of it went from fire department fire and rescue to fire and EMS like DC has it. Well, a lot of people, when you look at it, really, we're emergency services organizations.
Right.
And that's where a trend is gone, especially if you're all hazards, which the emergency services should be. You're seeing documents. And I can tell you that when we're writing documents on a national level, we're calling it ESOs. They're emergency services organizations because it's all inclusive.
Yeah.
So there you go, Rick.
There you go.
Your name is San Juan Island Emergency Services.
Organization.
Done.
All right.
It should make you happy, right?
It makes me a lot happier. That's right, George. It makes me a lot happier.
You get the mission accomplished banner.
Yeah. I'm going home.
All right. Get out of here. I'm thinking you're going to write that chapter.
Yeah.
It's on you, dude.
Well, Chief, thank you so much for your time. It's an open dialogue, so at any time, you know, you're welcome to call us together and ask to have a conversation. We'd like to have that same.
Oh, absolutely. I'm here, right? So I'm committed to the island. I have a place. I've been here. Well, I've been here for the 2 months. Yes, I'm trying to transition out of Sabi, but they're not letting me go. The board didn't approve me to do an interim chief, so I'm still the chief down there. The only time that really comes into play is we have our meeting on Wednesday afternoons here for the board. I have Sabi's Thursday evening at 7. So
no problem.
They back-to-back. So it's okay, but I'm here. Here through the holidays, as I was. I live on the island. I have a place. Holly and I are looking for a place to live. We have a lot of concepts right now, but we're here, and I'm committed to our community. So, yes, no, I appreciate your time tonight and letting me ramble. As Bob puts it, I don't have a problem talking. I have passion for this and passion for the community I live in, and I have a tendency to be very open and sharing. So, yes, I'm always open on the flip side. Thanks to you guys. So,
what
if you don't mind, I'll sit here and listen to the rest of you.
Yeah, you won't hang out at all of our meetings. I mean,
yeah.
Heck, Brad, we couldn't get rid of. The guy, even after he retired, he was showing up. I'm surprised he's not here tonight.
Yeah, and feel free to allow anyone to be allowed to.
Rick, do you have something else?
No, if Norman's sticking around.
No, emergency services works for him.
Yeah,
he's got nothing
happy
for him
now. His work is done.
Yeah.
Do we have any follow-up reports from members? I did one part of the follow-up from the minutes we had from the last meeting that I missed. I did have a conversation with Duncan Wilson, and Duncan did say that they would be interested in having a conversation with the fire district, but understood that they wouldn't want to go forward and try to implement anything prior to recommendations from our group coming forward. So they said that they were open to a discussion, but a limited discussion, wanting to wait for us to finish our work before really moving forward on anything. So,
That was the report back from the town.
I had a couple of things. I talked with Chief Sergeant again over schedule today. He says, how's it going? It started yesterday. He said, it's been a seamless transition.
Cool.
2 days, but
he said it's been 2 days.
Very smooth, but
it'll blow up until the weekend.
Just confirming that, you know, they went under fire, as we all know, but they still have a separate EMS levy. It's yes. not under the fire district levy. And I also talked again with Chief Ralston. And same thing up there. The EMS levy is run by the county. So it's not a levy that's running under the fire department. It's still under that 50-cent lid. And
Do you know what their fire levy is up there?
In Bellingham?
Yeah, because yeah. I know the group that I talked to, it sounds like they've combined levies, but they still run separate EMS levies at various times to cover costs, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they. It's...
Yeah, Bellingham's 35 cents.
For fire?
Yeah.
Or for EMS?
For EMS.
Okay.
Well, then there are the RFAs up there, too.
Yeah.
But it's separate.
So I talked to John Colseth. He is more than happy to come either on the 16th or 23rd. He would like questions in advance
yeah.
that you develop regarding levies.
That's what my main said, too.
Yeah. So either one, based on what we find out. You were going to talk to Katie. Also.
Katie hasn't called me back. I left a message with her last week. It took a week before she called me back, so I'm anticipating to hear from her by the end of the week. Or I gave her the dates on the voicemail, so I'm hoping that she at least recognizes the 16th or the 23rd. But I would say that if we don't hear from her by, I'll try again. I was going to wait till Friday and then Monday to try her, but if not, then we ought to lock in. The folks.
And Rick, just to follow up too, because I think it was mentioned in Nathan's notes, if there's some way, even if we wound up having to schedule an additional meeting, if there's some way to do this, because I get the value and the importance of, since you're on the island, her ability to go to the hospital district board, we ought to try to help facilitate both
yeah,
those things.
I mean, with Katie, she is just so busy, and I know she's yeah. doing some rigs. Stuff and so forth, webinars, and so it took a week on the last time for her to track that I tried to track her down until she got back.
Well, January 2nd after the holiday too.
Yeah, she's probably been yeah. gone yeah. somewhat.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll let you know on her as soon as I can.
Great. Good. And then as far as following up on, if I'm doing questions,
we were supposed to kind of
brainstorm
those
tonight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we need to get that to those folks, especially if they're going to be at our next meeting.
Right.
Yeah.
Which it might be.
Do we want to do that immediately after the meeting or as part of the meeting?
Part of the meeting.
Part of the meeting.
Yeah, okay. It's an important part of the meeting.
Great. All right. Well, why don't we launch into it?
Yep.
I think we still on meeting schedules?
We haven't really even got them.
Oh
yeah.
Because I'm going to be gone a few weeks in February. We'll be in Arizona, but I'll have my laptop with me so I can communicate back and forth. We'll be out.
Yeah, I mean, I think relative to our, just while we're talking about schedule, I recognize that we may have a couple of individually. I've got something at the end of February I've got to do for a week. I've got granddaughter duty, which I can't wait for in February. But I see us probably starting to meet every week beginning in February, because I think, you know, our calendar is just running real fast. I think we've got to start figuring out how to start to assemble what we see as our final report. So does that make sense?
What we had talked about last time is today doing the framework for the final report and signing out sections to individuals. Instead of trying to doing a group writing session. So for instance, I'll take the table of contents. And you guys can do anything else.
I'll type a page.
Okay.
yes. I'll print and assemble.
I'll do the geographically.
Okay.
Sure.
Oh, I did. I'm not opposed to
statement. Okay. Nathan, it's all on
you. He's going to have to write the whole thing. It's not a problem, though. He's got all the minutes.
So what we discussed is if we could have that framework and say, okay, who wants to work on this chapter, that chapter, or whatnot. We start crafting those and bringing them back so it could be reviewed and not spend a whole 3 hours drafting a section.
Yeah, it's hard to wordsmith collectively.
Right. It is.
It's better to take a document and start to break it down and then work on those individual pieces with the ability of everybody to comment as we go forward. So actually that would then probably, we should probably just keep our meeting schedule then because it would allow us some time in between meetings to spend more of that time actually writing and assembling. If that makes sense. But we could change our schedule at any time, so we're not necessarily stuck. I mean, if we require additional meetings, if there's other people that we need to be talking to as we're starting to close this down, we can do that pretty easily too.
Should I post the first and third Wednesdays of February then on the website?
Yeah, would you go ahead and do that?
What are your dates that you're in Arizona?
15th to the 20th. No, 5th to the
20th. 5th? What's the first February? I was just looking.
So the first Wednesday is the 6th, and the third Wednesday is the 20th.
I think we're flying back.
So you guys missed both those days.
So you missed both of those.
Yeah, I missed both of those.
Well, actually, and everything in between, so there's really not a lot left in February.
No. And again, we have a house show, I'll have my laptop. I can
good, so you can draft the report. That'd be perfect.
I've got graphics for the title page.
We've got pretty good audio conferencing equipment if you want to call in. If you guys are amenable to that.
Yeah, you could do that as well.
Sure.
I think that'd probably be good.
Because we need to have meetings through that time.
Yeah. We've already increased our meetings in January to have three.
And I think we're going to need three or more in February to get this done. So.
Yeah, because I think you promised end of March, I think.
Right, oh, man, I promised. There's no March.
And I don't know how you're going to write this whole thing by then.
I like that. Chuck, you promised. I got that. I heard that loud and clear.
It's on the screen.
Okay.
So, yes, meeting dates in February are going to be at least the first of the
I'll set those to start with. You guys
we can add
more.
One in between.
Hey, before we get into framing the questions, let me just, and I only make copies for the five of us right now. I even wrote on them.
Oh, names. Copy one, Chuck.
You named
them? Dan. Myself, George, and so forth. So I very quickly put together, so Orcus, and I've been kind of using that as, just to look at, and they've been nice enough because they gave me all their statistical data, their report card for the 17th and 18th year, as well as all their employees and their salaries to try to start looking at that. And I actually want to ask EMS and fire if they'll do the same thing. So this is just kind of a comparison. I took Orcus is, and since it's not part of the, I took the budgets of 19, and since they're not part of collectively of the same accounting system, I had to kind of put things together. Basically, as you can see, that Orcus is running about 1.5, a little more million less than the combined of these two. There's probably a lot of pieces and parts that still need to be kind of understood before I'm going to rubber stamp that that's, as real can be. You can see the wages are about $1 million over and operational expenses are about $600,000 over compared to the two organizations. But I want to do a lot more comparisons. So basically broken down into three segments, the income, the wages, and then the expenses. And you can kind of see the line items. So first two columns is EMS and fire, then a consolidated, then Orcus's, and then the differences. So I've got, like I said, I've got the numbers for Orcus and I've got the personnel. I want to do a personnel breakdown for fire and a personnel breakdown for EMS, as well as I'd like to do call volume and look at that, as well as then maybe looking at assets, just to kind of see what, from a capital standpoint, one compared to another one, compared to another one. You know, I'm certain that it's never going to come down to a 1.6 cut, but it could come down to a, you know, a $500,000 or a $700,000, maybe consolidated. And, you know, as you're looking at to kind of an M&A, you're looking at what are going to be the synergies out of it from a financial side. So kind of just looking at it, but you can kind of see what the line items are. So if you guys can kind of give me thoughts and ideas, I've already got, like I say, the call volume data for 2017-2018 for Orcas. They look like they're a little less than the combined San Juan. I thought they were more, but I think they look like they're about 80%. Although the interesting thing is that they did about 200 calls of just walk-ins, since they're at the fire department and there's no hospital. Mm-hmm. So their call complexity may be worse than, say, what's here, since, you know, 300 plus calls are merely a transport from the hospital to the airport using flight crews instead of, you know, even EMS personnel other than driving the ambulances. So the complexities of calls might be. So to really get a full... It just took me a while to get everybody's columns lined up. And so now I want to take that. I want to validate it against, I like to validate it against 18 expenses. So I'm going to ask Mylene if I can maybe get that same report again after 18 closes. So that I can then look and see what 2018, because budgets are one thing, you know, actuals are, can be something else depending on how people budget. They're supposed to budget, you know, we were always beat over the head, man. If you're going to give me a projection, live to it. And so, you know, then you'd always inflate it and they go, well, then if you inflate it, whatever is over, that's against you. And so it was never a fun world when we lived, you know. So anyways.
18 doesn't close for a while.
So I'm thinking hopefully by the end of February, maybe they might be available.
You ask
my even on audited.
I'm not final form, but maybe something you can work with might be available by then. It won't be something you should swear.
It'll be pretty close by the end of February.
It should be pretty close by the end of February.
Yeah, that would give me enough time because I already now have the format in place.
I mean, they're all through January. They're still doing fun closings.
Yeah,
everything.
But I took the GL codes and I applied them to the line items. So I can very quickly then reprogram for the actuals. But
one of the questions I would have, Rick, to ask EMS, because I don't recall if we asked Scott when he was here, because I know San Juan Fire here uses a lot of their staff to do their vehicle maintenance. I don't know if...
Well, that's baked into here. So if you look if you look at the wages, especially maintenance wages, are $317,000 is what they budgeted for 19. So just for their mechanics alone, that doesn't include their taxes or or their bennings.
And so I'm assuming that for Orcas, it's part of the professional
services. It's part of repairs and maintenance and professional services. It's rolled in a couple line items, parts and that kind of stuff.
And I think, does EMS contract for their vehicle maintenance? I think they do.
They do, yeah. In fact, they're trying to work with the county. So yes, there are differences. One isn't right or wrong. It's just as we kind of look at this, there's always an assumption that, as everybody well gathers, an M&A is going to give some synergies.
It would be interesting if you could, from the highest level you can get to, kind of see if there's any really significant differences in how the operations run that affect these numbers.
Yeah, and that's why I wanted to look at their data.
You may not really be doing apples and apples. apples
right.
here.
Right.
In a number of places, and I don't really know how to tease that out.
Yeah, Orcas may just have one station, and it has one fire truck and
right.
one ambulance,
I mean,
and that's...
Right, a number of things that could be
that's
different.
That's not yeah. the case, we know that.
Well, we know that, but George's point.
And another yeah. thing might be, I mean, how different are the service levels and things that are...
Right.
...that you're funding here? Because, I mean, if it's a 45-minute call...
Right.
...to Rosario or something like that, is that really...
Well, you know, I know that Orcas mans in-house.
They staff in house.
Yes, they do staff.
They staff in house.
They staff
so.
Out. They only have one house to staff too, as you said.
No, they,
no,
have,
they
have multiple
they
stations.
Have multiple houses.
Yeah, they have multiple houses, which so
they
don't staff,
staff
multiple.
Well, they
in
only
house.
Staff.
They staff one.
They staff
yeah,
the main
right.
one
okay,
in house, but
saying.
They have like five or six buildings across.
Yeah,
the,
yeah, they have
the
other
island.
Stations. I realize,
yeah.
but they're not staffed.
So, anyways, we need to. You're absolutely right, and we need
so that
to
kind of thing. I think would be more interesting to be sure.
One of the things that I feel pretty confident on is that. Although, interestingly enough, so a couple things. One is that the 2019 to the 2018 budget, so Orcas budgeted $200,000 less in 19 than 18. Fire budgeted just about the same dollars. They're only like $30,000 or $40,000 off. And EMS budgeted $200,000 more. So that was an interesting thing. The other thing is that cash, you don't quite show all your cash. I think you have some reserves that you didn't show in the budget, and it's one of the things I want to find out. But I believe that in ranking, it's probably fire. Very close is Orcas, and then EMS is down here with reserves.
In terms of how much
yeah.
ending cash you're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, ending cash or investments, any kind of
I mean, there's
investments.
Kind of a difference, though, between ending cash and reserves.
Well, cash, reserves, investments, everything.
You're talking about all of it.
Okay.
I'm talking about all of
it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. There's, I mean, they're like, Orcas is like $1.2 million to $1.5 million, somewhere around there. I think fire is somewhere around there. But EMS is, I think, $600,000-$700,000. So it's about in half. The one thing I don't think Orcas does is capitalize. I think that they're very, very, very shallow on capitalization.
We ought to capture that
and
if we can, Rick.
Yes,
that,
yes.
Be,
that's a big issue.
Yeah,
and
capital
that,
is
because one of the things that we have to recommend is sustainability.
Right.
We can't recommend something that says, okay, let's shave, and then in 5 years they fall off because they haven't been able to... to fund capitalization, so
float a bond to pay for the stuff they
right,
didn't do.
Right, yeah. right. So I think we would be doing a great disservice if we come in and say, "Well, you know what? This is what you can live in, or this is a recommendation of what you could potentially live in," and they can't sustain themselves.
It's one of the more difficult questions in looking at the levy issue because there's an unintended consequence potentially. In doing an all or none strategy as far as looking at a combined levy, there may or may not be, right?
Right.
I mean,
and that goes to a bunch of questions that I have, which is going to be interesting.
You're talking about the fire district just raising the fire levy rather than having a separate EMS levy?
Right.
Well, there's way more flexibility there, because you're not capped at 50 cents.
Yeah, and I just want to make sure that we address sort of make sure that there's no unintended consequence in liquidating one.
Right, but taking on, well, when we get to the asking the levy questions, I want to ask because...
Well, these we should be developing questions for our...
Yeah, that's what I wanted. So I just wanted to pass this around to you guys so that you had, so you can start to look at this. And there's a lot of questions that still goes along with this that could, you know, and again, you're right, service levels, you know, number of buildings, the number of assets.
Well, this represents a fair amount of work, Rick, and I appreciate that because you really had to classify a whole lot of the county budget to match the QuickBooks budget you got from...
What I believe is that we can find value to make the argument to sell the concept based on financial to the city and so forth and to the town because I think there can be a reduction to some degree in property tax EMS side. Certainly not 1.6, but something reasonable that might be able to, by the synergies of consolidation, offsets the town or anything like that in their concerns, just what Norman was saying and so forth. So I think that there's an actual win-win for everybody as we come out of it and still be successful. I want to make certain of that.
Yeah. And it's the financial sustainability question that's the big driver.
Right.
Yeah, because what I recall is, did any of the organizations have a capital plan and capital reserves? And
I think fire's the closest that has that. But their appetite is such that, you know, I don't know that it would fund EMS coming over as well. So
EMS, it's certainly not going to fund a new building and a few other things.
Right.
There's a lot of capital needs.
Yeah, it was limited and it was triage-based because of equipment aging.
And it has been for quite some time at fire. There were buildings that were not finished.
Right.
They didn't have the cash and the money.
So. I mean, but there is a capital budget. I mean, right. The county has a capital budget for each of these agencies. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they have any money in them, I don't really know. Right.
So, anyways, just to start, and I'll keep plugging away, but I'd like to get some data from you, and I'd like to get some things that, if that would be possible, and do the same thing with EMS.
Yeah, this is tremendous. Yeah, this is tremendous.
Thanks for this.
You're welcome.
So why don't we get into questions?
And table of contents, or are you going to delay that, do that another day?
We may get to that, depending.
Yeah, we'll see how we do.
How we do with the questions.
Well, some of the questions might be easier to tease out with table of contents.
Well, I think these are strictly for the...
These are just questions for the electrics that are coming to our next meeting.
So which ones are you doing then, Mylene and John?
I don't think we have anybody else.
Which, I have a question, which is one of the questions I want to ask. So the interesting piece is, and you just validated that, so Albert said that better than 60% of the fire EMS combined services in the state run both a fire and EMS levy. Mm-hmm. Okay. If we don't dissolve the EMS levy, do we really have to redistrict? Can the EMS levy just run its district size? And can fire just run its district size and it's managed?
Well, here's the deal. If fire is going to collect the levy for EMS, it's a new levy. I don't care if you call it an EMS levy or what. If we're going to abandon it in the hospital district because it's now EMS is provided by fire, that's a new levy. So you're going to pass a new levy either way. And that's going to be a new levy, meaning it needs to have 60%, it needs a supermajority to pass, because it's not a new, it's not the existing levy just getting bumped up, which would be 50% to pass. Right?
Right.
But so you can make that district whatever you want. It's a new levy, but it's got to be passed by all the people in whatever district you create.
So my question, though, is then, so do you have to worry about district boundaries? If we kept the EMS levy, even if it's a new levy.
Well, you can't keep the existing one, but you can create a new one that looks just like it, but it's collected by fire.
Fire
would want to have those district boundaries defined.
But could you, in theory, run two levies with different boundaries?
Exactly. That's my question. Yeah. Because then the vote isn't, well, geez, mine's going to go up or mine's going to go down. It's really that fire 2 years from now could say, well, geez, we want to bring everything together. They could take that issue after already a consolidation. Yeah. So my question is around, can they manage different levy boundaries within the levies if they stay separate?
Well, you can't collect two EMS levies simultaneously. Right. So I'm not sure I understand what you want to do.
What Rick's saying is correct me if I'm wrong.
But yeah, no, I think
he would say that the existing Fire District 3 levy would remain in place with those boundaries.
Keep that.
Fire District 3 would run a new levy request that basically mimics the existing hospital district levy. Get rid of the hospital. So you would run a vote.
You could do that.
So that the
fire district wanted to do that, they could do that.
So that's what he's asking. So running two.
So we're
not sure why they would want to do that.
All I'm saying is, just like Norman said, we're throwing options out.
Yeah,
we can make a suggestion that says, but if it takes another vote, because people are going to be annexed out or other people have to be annexed in, I'm looking at what is streamlined. So when we ask the questions of the assessor,
mm-hmm.
can it be streamlined to the fact that this is the fire EMS or the fire levy for EMS and this is the EMS levy for EMS, and you know what, they look exactly the same. And so then we don't have to go worry about redistricting. We don't have to kick Henry out, or we don't have to kick Stewart out, or we don't have to kick, you know, what else out. The question is, we can offer this, and we can offer that the whole thing looks like this.